भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायं मुदीरयेत्। नष्ट प्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। सो श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर नंबर 6 टेक्स्ट नंबर 12। परयुष्टया तव विभो वनमालयेयम् संस्पार्धिनी भगवती प्रतिपत्निवश्रीः यः सुप्रणीतममुयार्हणमाददन्नो भूयात् सदाङ्घ्रिरशुभाशय धूमकेतुः। परयुष्टया तव विभो वनमालयेयम् संस्पार्धिनी भगवती प्रतिपत्निवश्रीः यः सुप्रणीतममुयार्हणमाददन्नो भूयात् सदाङ्घ्रिरशुभाशय धूमकेतुः। परयुष्टया तव विभो वनमालयेयम् संस्पार्धिनी भगवती प्रतिपत्निवश्रीः यः सुप्रणीतममुयार्हणमाददन्नो भूयात् सदाङ्घ्रिरशुभाशय धूमकेतुः। माताजी, परयुष्टया वॉर्न आउट तव योर विभो ऑलमाइटी लॉर्ड वनमालया बाय द फ्लावर गार्लैंड इयम शी संस्पार्धिनी फीलिंग कॉम्पिटिटिव भगवती the female counterpart of the personality of Godhead. Pratipatnivat, just like an envious co-wife. Shrihi, Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune. Yaha, which supreme lord, yourself. Sampratnitam, nitam, so that it may be properly executed. Amuya, by this. Arhanam, the offering. Adadan, accepting. Naha, our. Bhuyat, may they be. Sada, always. Angrihi, the lotus feet. Ashubha Ashaya, of our impure desires. Dhumaketuhu, the fire of destruction. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O Almighty Lord, You are so kind to Your servants that You have accepted the withered flower garland that we have placed on Your chest. Since the Goddess of Fortune makes her abode on Your transcendental chest, she will undoubtedly become agitated like a jealous co-wife upon seeing our offering also dwelling there. Yet You are so merciful that You neglect Your eternal consort Lakshmi and accept our offering as most excellent worship. O merciful Lord, may Your lotus feet always act as a blazing fire to consume the inauspicious desires within our hearts. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita 9.26, it is stated, Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhakti upahritam ashnami prayatatmanaha. Lord Krishna gratefully and happily accepts even the most meager offerings from His loving devotee. Lord Krishna is conquered by the love of His pure devotee, just as a father is easily conquered by the most insignificant gift offered by His loving child. Unless a transcendentalist completely gives up the impersonal conception of life, he cannot make such a loving offering to the Lord. The process of meditation upon the supersoul within the heart, called Dhyana Yoga, is not as pleasing to Krishna as Bhakti Yoga or devotional service. Because in Dhyana or meditation, the yogi is trying to satisfy himself and not the Lord by attaining mystic powers. Similarly, in order to acquire material benefits from the Lord, ordinary people worship God in temples, churches and mosques. But one who desires actual spiritual perfection must be enlivened to always chant and hear the glories of the Lord. Such devotional enthusiasm is motivated by love of Godhead and is devoid of any selfish expectation. The Lord is so kind that He neglects His own eternal consort Lakshmi and gives preference to His humble devotee, just as man will neglect the loving embrace of his wife when his affectionate child approaches him with a gift. Srila Jiva Goswami has pointed out that any garland worn by the Lord cannot be faded because of all the Lord's personal paraphernalia, because all of the Lord's personal paraphernalia is completely transcendental and spiritually opulent. Similarly, there is no possibility that mundane jealousy could appear in the character of the Goddess of Arjuna, who is as transcendental as the Lord, as Lord Krishna Himself. Therefore, the statements of the demigods are to be understood as humorous words inspired by intense love of Godhead. The demigods enjoy the protection of Lakshmi and ultimately of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. And due to their confidence in their loving relationship with the Lord and His consort, they feel free to speak in a joking way. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kada Mahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruho श्रीयुतापदकमलम् श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातम् सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णकरुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते तप्त काञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे Hare Krishna. So this chapter begins where Lord Brahma, accompanied by all the sages, all the demigods from every planetary system, they have arrived at Dwarka with a purpose in mind. And the purpose is that they now want to request Lord Krishna to go back to his spiritual abode. Because in the beginning of the 10th canto, we learned that it was only because of their prayers and request that Lord Krishna descended. And now we'll see that based on their request only, Krishna will return to the spiritual world. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find the same theme, where Advaita Acharya calls out to the Lord and he appears as Lord Chaitanya. And it's the same Advaita Acharya who sends him back. So we just learn a very important aspect of Krishna's personality, that how Krishna is always subservient to his devotees. Although he is a supreme Lord, but he always takes a humble position. So every activity, every quality finds its perfection in Krishna. Because he is a supreme Lord, he is supremely humble. In the Gita, he talks about his opulences. Among the cheaters, he is the greatest cheat. And he talks about his greatness. So he is the supremely humble also. That's a very, very special quality of Krishna. He is like a puppet in the hands of his devotees. And we see the demigods, in a joking manner, they are actually telling Lord Krishna that because they have offered lots of garlands to Krishna as they arrive in Dwarka, and they are joking with Krishna. Now, just like the children might joke with the father in the absence of the mother, that maybe the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, will feel envious because you have accepted our offering also. On your chest, although chest is the abode of Goddess Lakshmi. So this is a very important, another aspect of Krishna's personality, that he accepts everyone's offerings. He is equal to all. Samoham sarva bhuteshu. like the example from the Ramayana, the squirrel and Hanuman. The squirrel is also trying to push few pebbles into the ocean, trying to help Lord Ram build the bridge. And Hanumanji is picking up big boulders and putting into the ocean. Hanumanji mildly chastised or rebuked the squirrel. And Lord Ram actually chastised him. And this is the only incident in Ramayana where actually the Lord chastised Hanuman for a squirrel, for a small squirrel, which is insignificant. Telling Hanuman that in my eyes, both of your service is equal. Whatever both of you are doing is equal. The squirrel is trying its best, you are trying your best. So in my eyes, there is no difference. So for a squirrel, the Lord was ready to chastise even Hanuman, who was such a close associate. Once Narad Muni came to Ayodhya, and he saw Lord Ram had a diary, and he asked Lord Ram, what is in it? He said, you can see these. And he saw there were names of many devotees. And on the top was Narad Muni's name, and then other devotees like Prahlad, Dhruva, Bali. But he did not find Hanuman's name. So he asked Lord Ram, Hanumanji is your greatest devotee. I don't see his name in this diary, which contains the names of devotees who are so dear to you. Then Lord Ram took out another small diary, a secret diary, and he said, "This, just have a look at this." And right on the top was Hanuman's name. So Narad Muni asked, what is this mystery? He said, the diary, the bigger diary that you have in your hands, contains the names of devotees who remember me. And the small diary contains the names of those devotees whom I remember. So Hanumanji was so dear that Lord Ram actually, he was the most confidential servant. And he was chastised for a squirrel. And that is our only hope. Krishna's Kripa Shakti. Krishna has multifarious energies. And it is described, his Kripa Shakti is the supreme. He can do anything, but when his Kripa Shakti comes to the forefront, everything else is forgotten. The new rules are made, old rules are broken. And that Krishna can do because he is Swarat, supremely independent, nobody can question. The law of karma gets amended. Somebody who is destined to suffer in hell for eternity, becomes a liberated soul within a moment. So this is Krishna's Kripa Shakti. Demons who deserve hell get liberated. Like we see in the life of Prahlad, his aunt Holika had the benediction that she could not be burnt in fire. And therefore Hiranyakashipu used her to kill Prahlad. But when the fire went off, they saw Prahlad was still sitting and Holika was no more, although she had the benediction of Brahma. So Krishna can amend the rules when it comes to his devotees. And Kripa Shakti, they are the most qualified recipients of his Kripa Shakti. In the case of Aghasura, you see, one of the demons Krishna killed. It is described that after Krishna killed Aghasura, of course he was immediately liberated when he was killed. He was such a powerful demon that there was no account of the amount of sinful activities that he had committed. But Krishna liberated him by killing him. And then after that, his entire body was used as a playground by the cowherd boys. So even his dead body was used in Krishna's service. A demon, extremely sinful demon, he was liberated by being killed. And then his dead body was also used in the service of the Lord. Even devotees don't get such benedictions. When devotees leave this world, their body is cremated. But here a demon like Aghasura, belonging to the family of Putana, his dead body is also utilized in Krishna's service. This is the Kripa Shakti of Krishna. the extreme mercy. And Putna, of course, the classic example, came to kill Krishna. She was known for killing small children. And she was given the position of eternal mother by Krishna. So it is described that when Krishna's Kripa Shakti reigns supreme, everything goes into the background. In the pastime of Nalakuvar and Manigreev, they were cursed by Narad Muni to become trees, and they were liberated by Krishna's touch. And we know this part, that after they were liberated, they went back to the heavenly planets, regained their original celestial bodies. But what kind of liberation did they achieve after that? That is described in Gopal Champu by Jiva Goswami. So it begins where there are two reciters in Krishna's planet, Golok Vrindavan. Every evening, these two reciters gather, and all the Brajavasis gather in one hall, where these two reciters just recite Krishna's pastimes. Krishna Balaram also sit, Nanda Baba also sit, Yashodamai and the other ladies, gopis, they also sit and they hear. That's everyday affair, every evening. So these two reciters, Snigdha Kantha and Madhu Kantha, they do the seva. Every day, this is their service. They recite Krishna's pastimes for everyone's pleasure. So it is described when they came to this part, Damodar Leela, and the two sons, Nalakuvar and Manigreev, the sons of Kuvera, they were liberated. So somebody asked then, where did these two children go after they were liberated by Krishna? So Snigdha Kantha and Madhu Kantha, they lowered their heads. They did not speak for some time. And then they were questioning the Brajavasis, where did they go? Who are these two children? What gati did they get? And then out of great humility after some time, they said, we are those two children. So they attained Goloka. And now they become eternally the reciters of Krishna's pastimes. So this is Krishna's Kripa Shakti. Anything which is touched by Krishna becomes glorious. Just like Kubja was touched by Krishna, she became extremely beautiful. Kaliya, an envious snake, was touched by Krishna's lotus feet. He has become eternal carrier of Krishna now. So it is described, sometimes when Krishna doesn't like to ride on Garuda, he takes Kaliya's help. He rides on Kaliya. And in some of the millenniums, Krishna comes to Mathura from Vrindavan, just like in this millennium, he went on a chariot. In some of the Kalpas, he goes on Kaliya, riding on Kaliya via Jamuna expressway. So therefore, anything which is touched by Krishna becomes glorious and beautiful. Jagaya Madhaya, they were extremely sinful. When they were touched by the Lord's Kripa Shakti, they immediately became beautiful. They had a black complexion because of their sins. Now they immediately had a beautiful complexion. In a moment, everything changed. So therefore, this is actually preaching. Somehow or the other, facilitating this touch of Krishna in people's lives through prasad, through katha, through kirtan, through the holy names, through darshan, through association, through books. So by doing these activities, we are actually giving all the people the facility to be touched by Krishna. Because when they are touched by Krishna, when they take help of these transcendental activities, they attract Krishna's grace. And it is only by that grace that they will become devotees. It is not our lectures or kirtans or our own abilities that turns people into devotees. It is only when they get Krishna's grace, they will become devotees. Otherwise, if it was our ability, then we speak to so many people, thousands of people, not that everybody becomes a devotee. And some people become devotee of 2 years, 3 years, 10 years. So this is actually preaching. A preacher doesn't think of himself as someone who is very qualified to make people devotees. His only role is he just has to pray. Facilitate so that people can be touched by Krishna. That's his only credit, facilitating. And then pray to Krishna to shower his grace on all these people that he's preaching to so that they can become devotee. They can take up this process seriously. So that is the preacher's credit. Facilitating and then praying. Only when Krishna showers his grace, people will become devotees. So Krishna's touch is required, and especially in this month we are doing book distribution. We are just facilitating that touch. Srila Prabhupada said that even if somebody touches these books, his life will change forever. So again, that Krishna factor is very important. Sometimes we feel when we are preaching, I have to speak this, I'll speak that way, then people will become devotees and we prepare, which is very nice. But ultimately, we have to be in a prayerful mood when we are preaching, that praying, when we are singing, speaking, we're praying to Krishna constantly within our mind that please let these people be touched by your grace, because only then they will be delivered. And that's our only credit. So therefore, in order to attract this grace of Krishna, Krishna's Kripa Shakti, bhakti is the only way. Bhaktya mam api janati. And Krishna only reveals himself to the devotees. Is equally inclined towards everyone, but he specially inclined towards his devotees. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions how the impersonalists, the Mayavadis, who consider Krishna's form as Maya, they cannot get Krishna's Kripa because they are offenders. Their philosophy is Krishna's form is an illusion, and it is just a step towards that impersonal Brahma Jyoti. And once you reach that stage, you just remove this form out of your life. They use very gross words, basically. Because you become one with God, they say. Because they never accept Krishna's form, so there is no loving reciprocation. And because there is no loving reciprocation, there is no flow of grace. And after all, it is a selfish process. Because they want to become one with God. There is no love involved. Even in Aishwarya Bhav, when Krishna is worshipped, there is no loving reciprocation. What to speak about the Mayavadis? Even in Aishwarya Bhav, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he reads the mind of Krishna. Where Krishna is thinking, he is expressing his displeasure that this kind of bhakti, which is weakened by the feelings of awe and reverence, doesn't please him much. There is no loving reciprocation. So what to speak of the Mayavadis or the yogis? The yogis, they are also meditating on the super soul within the heart. But there is a desire that I want to have mystic powers. So there is no loving reciprocation. There is no love. But only through bhakti. Bhakti means for the pleasure of the Lord. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami has given the definition of pure bhakti. Anya bhilashita shunyam jnana karamadhyana vritam anukulyana krishna anushilanam bhakti ruttama. It should be devoid of karma and jnana. Because both involves selfishness. In both the processes, the goal is one's own pleasure. It's not Krishna's pleasure. And it should be favorable. And we can continue to perform bhakti throughout our life only because we all have to go through ups and downs in life on mental as well as physical level. And the tendency is when it becomes difficult, we might just give it up or we become complacent. But when the goal is Krishna's pleasure, then hell or high, we'll just continue with our seva, with our services. None of these things will deviate or distract us. Our boat might wobble a little bit in the middle of the ocean, but because it is strongly anchored with that pleasure of Krishna, it will not be swept away. So if the goal is Krishna's pleasure, that I am doing it for Krishna's pleasure, or I have to do it for Krishna's pleasure, then only we can actually sustain our spiritual life throughout our life. It will continue to last forever. If it is our pleasure, then the day we don't get any pleasure, we won't do it. Today I am feeling like serving, tomorrow I don't feel like, then I just don't do it because it's my pleasure. When it is Krishna's pleasure, the goal, then we'll do it every day. Then we don't even mind inconvenience in our seva. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakurji therefore sings, Tomara sevaye dukkha hoye jata sahito parama sukha. That the inconvenience that I have to go through in your seva is the source of my greatest pleasure. So ups and downs, there is austerity everywhere, but in spiritual life, the austerity is for a higher purpose. We have a higher goal, therefore we are able to continue, even though there are so many discomforts. So that is actually pure bhakti. And that is the only way actually to attract Krishna's grace. No amount of karma, jnana, charity, penance can actually attract Krishna's grace. So therefore that should be the goal, Krishna's pleasure. And how somehow or the other facilitate this grace in other people's lives and how allow ourselves also be touched by Krishna always. That touch is very important. Today also we are celebrating the disappearance day of two of the eternal associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Jagadish Pandit and Srila Jiva Goswami. So whenever the Lord descends to this world, His associates also come. Some of them come before Him. Some of them come after Him. So those who come before Him, they generally appear to make all the arrangements for the descent of the Lord. And those who come after Him, they appear to expand the mission of the Lord, the vision of the Lord. Srila Jagadish Pandit, he appeared before Lord Chaitanya. And you will not find much about the contribution of Jagadish Pandit and many other devotees like that in the Lord's Leela. So why do they appear? It's just like you're going for some work or going to attend some function. Then you request your closest friend or somebody who's very dear to you. You come with me and the person might ask, but what will I do? I have nothing to do in that place. And you will say, you just be around. I am very comfortable when you are there. So these associates are like that. They are so dear to the Lord. Even if they don't do anything, the Lord wants them to be around. So Jagadish Pandit was one of them. Didn't do much preaching or we don't hear much. But he was extremely dear. And the proof is, when the Lord actually appeared when he was doing his childhood Leela, his favorite pastime was, he would start crying. And the only way he would stop crying is when the people around him would come together and clap their hands and start chanting the holy names, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. One day, he continued to cry. They tried their best. They were chanting at the top of their voice. Still, he continued to cry. So they asked Nehemiah, what is wrong? We are chanting. Why are you still crying? And he said, Jagadish Pandit and Hiranya Pandit, the two brothers, have made a special offering today on the day of Ekadashi for Lord Vishnu, a rice offering. I want to eat that. So Jagannath Mishraji, his father, was very surprised. First of all, how could the child know? He doesn't even know how to walk. Secondly, how can he eat rice on Ekadashi? But then eventually they all agreed and they went to Jagadish and Hiranya Pandit, who were also amazed. They sent this offering with great ecstasy. And the Lord ate it happily. So just goes to show how they were so dear to the Lord, Jagadish and Hiranya Pandit, that we try our best, so one day maybe the Lord will accept our offering. And here the Lord is asking for that offering. That's the love. That's the loving reciprocation. In the case of Sudama, we see. So this is the love between the Lord and Jagadish Pandit. And it is described, he appeared in Guwahati, in Assam, which was known as Parag Jyotishpur. His father's name was Kamalaksha Bhatta. And both his parents were great devotees of Lord Vishnu. And after they disappeared from this world, Jagadish Pandit along with his wife Dukhini Devi, they moved to Mayapur on the shores of Ganga, very close to Jagannath Mishra's house. So in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur describes that all these different associates of Lord Chaitanya who appeared before him, they appeared in different parts of Bengal. And just as when the Lord was about to make his appearance, inspired by some divine power, they all gathered, they all settled down in Navadvip Mayapur. And these associates, eternal associates of the Lord, they didn't know each other's actual identity. They treated each other as their friends. So, only in Mahaprakash Leela, each one came to know about other's identity, spiritual, real identity. So therefore, till the Lord actually reveals, we can never know who is the person sitting next to us, or what is the person's actual identity. Only when the Lord reveals, we'll come to know. So these eternal associates of the Lord also didn't know who the other person was. They were treating each other as their friends. So they all settled in Mayapur. So before Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, he sent Jagadish Pandit to Jagannath Puri that you go and preach the Sankirtan movement, Harinam Sankirtan. He came to Jagannath Puri. He had darshan of Lord Jagannath. While he was going back, he could not bear the separation from Lord Jagannath, that those vigrahas had captured his mind completely. So he was crying. And in his dream, Lord Jagannath appeared that, do not worry. Don't be sad. You take my deity with you to Bengal and then you can worship me. So that was the year of Navakalevar. Lord Jagannath's body was about to be changed. He said, you take my outgoing body, the old body, you take. It's so heavy. And simultaneously, the Lord also appeared in the dream of the king of Puri. He ordered him to give this old body to this devotee Jagadish Pandit. And king was very happy and happily gave it. And Jagadish Pandit was actually asking Jagannath, how will I carry you? You are so heavy in your actual form. He said, don't worry, I'll become as light as a cock. And then you can carry me on a staff. Just put one new cloth over me and you can carry me on a staff. And Jagadish Pandit happily did that. He hired two brahmanas and they put nice cloth on Jagannath and they were carrying him on a staff. One small danda, one small stick. And Jagannath had a condition that wherever you put me down, you will have to make a permanent settlement for me. So although Jagadish Pandit was going back to Mayapur, at one place called Jashore, which is very close to a village called Chakdaha, he put Jagannath down. He went to take bath in Ganga. When he came back, Jagannath did not move. He became his actual weight. And then he settled down in Jashore, near Chakdaha. Chakdaha is a very important village where Krishna's son Pradyumna had come in Dwapar Yuga and killed the demon called Sambhara. And this is also the place where Bhagirath, when he was bringing Ganga to this planet, he buried one of the chariot wheels, therefore Chakradaha. And over a period of time, the name changed to Chakdaha. That's how Jagadish Pandit actually, instead of settling down at Mayapur after his visit to Puri, he had to settle down in Jashore. And when Lord Chaitanya manifested his Sankirtan pastimes, twice he, along with Lord Nityananda, he came to Jagadish Pandit's house and performed Sankirtan, and they had a heavy feast. So Jagadish Pandit is extremely exalted personality. In the Gaur Ganodesh Deepika, it is described who he was. There are various opinions by different acharyas. One account says he was the expert dancer Chandrahas from Krishna's Leela, who used to please Krishna by dancing. And then other opinion says he and his brother Hiranya Pandit, they were the incarnations of the Yajnapatnis in Krishna's Leela. And somewhere it is mentioned Jagadish Pandit was also one of the Nagapatnis, wives of Kaliya. But whatever his true identity may be, one thing is clear, that he is a very eternal, very dear eternal associate of the Lord. And he disappeared on this day. Second, Jiva Goswami appeared after the Lord's appearance into this world. And these associates of the Lord who specially come after him, they are meant only to expand the mission of the Lord. The eternal associates of the Lord, they come to this world only with this idea in mind that or service in hand that they have to expand, that they have to preach, bring all the lost souls back to Krishna's lotus feet. So Jiva Goswami was one of the most prominent Vaishnavas, Acharyas. In the Krishna Leela, he is the Vilas Manjari, one of the confidential associates of Srimati Radharani. And he was one of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. And he was so qualified, even though he was the youngest. He was the nephew of Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Sanatan Goswami. And when he came to Vrindavan to join his uncles after his father had passed away, Anupam, for 1 or 2 years, he just humbly served Rupa Goswami. He would massage his feet. He would make pencils for him to write. He would make palm leaves for Rupa Goswami. He humbly served Rupa Goswami, although he was the greatest scholar. He never tried to make a show of his great learning. And that's the proof that he was actually a highly learned person. Knowledge actually must result in divine qualities. And the foremost of all the qualities is humility. In the 13th chapter, verse number 8 through 12, Krishna describes the different items of knowledge. And the first activity, that is, first quality, first item that is described is humility. Knowledge ultimately should culminate in humility. And Jiva Goswami, because he was highly learned, actually learned, therefore he was extremely humble also. And for first few years, this is how he served Rupa Goswami. He never asked him that whether he could also write books or do something substantial. He was in the background. And only over when the Rupa Goswami and Srila Sanatan Goswami, they passed away from this world. Although there were many, many prominent acharyas at that time, but Jiva Goswami was chosen unanimously as a leader of all the Vaishnavas, even though he was very young, was the youngest. And he was so popular, so famous, that all the great associates of the Lord at that time, all the great spiritual teachers, the masters, they would send their disciples to Vrindavan to study under Jiva Goswami. It was Srila Jiva Goswami who oversaw the construction of Shishi Radha Govind temple, who supervised the excavation of Shri Radha Kund. He was a great visionary also, because he could see that in future many of the devotees will come for darshan of Radha Kund. So he excavated it. So Jiva Goswami was a very powerful manager, a very powerful scholar, a very humble devotee. He had everything. Yes, yes, the bhaktir bhagavati yakinchana. Sarvair gunes tatra samasate surah. Because he was a great devotee of the Lord, see, he had all the divine qualities. And right from his childhood, he was very attached to Krishna. He had deities of Krishna Balaram. And he would dance for them, he would decorate them, he would feed them. He was totally attached to Krishna Balaram deities. So attached that even when he would fall asleep, he would sleep. He would be sleeping, hugging the Krishna Balaram deities. He could not bear the separation from the deities, even for a moment. And he was such a great scholar that it is described he has written over 500,000 original Sanskrit verses. About 500,000 verses. And the way he would write, he would just compose a verse within his mind and simply write it. And there was no scope of editing or correction because they would be embedded in the palm leaves. Still, whatever he wrote down was in perfect rhythm, meter, Sanskrit language. He was such an empowered personality. And he was the original book distributor also. Because this is the month of book distribution. So it's highly relevant that we discuss this. All the literature that was left by the Goswamis, Jiva Goswami, he had three illustrious disciples, Srila Narottam Das Thakur, Srila Shyamanand Pandit and Sri Srinivas Acharya. So as I said, he was a great visionary, so he wanted this knowledge to be distributed. And he was the original, he was the originator of this book distribution party. And the first vehicle that was used for book distribution was a bullock cart. So he instructed all these three great acharyas to take these books to Utkala, to Bengal, and make sure that this knowledge is distributed. And at that time, there were no printing presses also. They would have to copy everything down. So therefore, it makes us all the more humble when we realize the contribution of these great acharyas, how this knowledge has been transferred to us. If these devotees had not taken these efforts to distribute the knowledge or copy everything down, then by this time the knowledge would have been destroyed. So therefore, it is imperative that we express our gratitude to these acharyas on these days, remember them. And just by remembering them, we access the mercy of their heart that they carry within their hearts. Many years back, I read one quote by Bhaktivinoda Thakur or somebody, that as soon as you remember a great Vaishnava, 1/100th of his spiritual potency comes in you. You get 1/100th of the spiritual potency that Vaishnava carries. So even 1/100th is enough to drown us completely. So therefore, it is very important that on these days we remember these acharyas, remember these contributions, their contributions. And on these days, these acharyas are extremely merciful, especially appearance or disappearance days. So therefore, it's a great opportunity that we pray to them for their grace. We pray to them that we can be touched by Krishna. We can attract that Krishna's Kripa Shakti into our lives. And we can help others also, millions of them, to attract Krishna's grace into their lives also. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Jiva Goswami ki jai, Srila Jagadish Pandit ki jai.